Hello and welcome to A Pint of Cthulhu Behind the Bar. Today we are interviewing Fern. It says your name is on here, but what is your actual name? I did try and ask you that before the blackout.
Oh yeah, my real name is Alkis. Alkis Deli. It's a Greek name, so kind of hard to pronounce. But for the sake of not having, you know, any problems pronouncing it, just call me Fern.
Fern Lou. The game Hellborn, the second version, if I'm not mistaken.
Hellborn Descended, yes. Hellborn Descended. The taglines represent it's the new edition.
Fair play. Jay, would you like to ask the very first icebreaker question that we ask every single guest?
Oh, I'm interested.
Sure. So, if you had to say a pint of Cthulhu was a drink, what kind of drink would it be?
If a pint of Cthulhu was a drink?
Mm-hmm.
As in you, the person, or the podcast?
The podcast.
As in the name of the podcast, yeah.
Ah, I see.
You ordered a pint of Cthulhu at a bar, what would you expect to get?
Funnily enough, my father is a barman, so I know a few things I could say. Though, just from like the name, I'm imagining something fruity, something kind of botanical or sour. Definitely green in color, something akin to a mojito. Something botanical, I'd say. Lots of herbs, maybe like a few, spearmint or peppermint, stuff like that.
That actually sounds like the nicest one we've had so far.
I think the foulest one, by contrast, would be the fucking salmon.
Oh god.
Flavored whiskey.
Oh, salmon. Oh god. You know, it's funny that you mention it, because as per our first follower goal for the game's Kickstarter, I've made 7 different drinks, cocktails, for the game. You can actually find them on Blue Sky, but I'm going to compile them to like a document for easier access. So yeah, Hellborn has its own cocktails as well.
Nice.
Well, I know what we're drinking.
Add it to the list.
I'll send it to you later, because I think you might enjoy them, actually.
We will.
Oh, hell yeah. Early access to drinks. Woo! So, tell us about your game and how it's going.
So, Hellborn Descended is my first and so far my greatest work in terms of like size and amount of time I put into it. It's the byproduct of many years of teenage angst, perfectionism, and a passion for making things. It's a TTRPG set in a modern hell, akin to stuff like Hell of a Boss or Hazmat Hotel. It was actually spawned from a bit of a rage boner, for lack of a better word, back when me and one of my best friends who were working on this game watched the show and said, nah, this is not as good, we're gonna make it better with blackjack and hookers. Since then, the game, I like to believe the game has developed a better identity for itself. It made itself be more unique than just Hazmat Hotel, but better. With blackjack and hookers.
Nice.
In terms of how it's going, so, to give you a brief rundown of the history of the game, we've had multiple revisions of the game. The first few were equally ass. The fourth one was the one we actually released. It wasn't as good, but at least it was playable. We made another revision, scrapped it, made another one, which is the current version, and right now we are on Kickstarter. We're gonna go on Kickstarter later this year, in April more specifically.
Nice.
And that's how it's going, for now at least.
Fair play.
So,
okay.
Can you describe the core mechanics of your game? Is there anything about it that's really different or unique?
Frankly, I don't think the game is extremely intuitive. Frankly, since it was my first work, I didn't dare to do something much very extravagant with it. No very special or funky mechanics. My later games that I've developed are a bit more experimental. But the core mechanics of the game are, it's a 3d6 rollover system that uses 3d6s, as I mentioned. One of the quirks of it is that a 666 roll is a critical success.
Nice.
The game has a focus on combat and character customization for the most part. Combat is the main focus of the game, and it's built to be more fun, tactical, and prioritize the cooperation of players and using all they got effectively. be it their assets they've gathered for the mission, their supernatural abilities, their perks that they got from their mercenary role, or just overall using their minds to and tactics to overcome any challenge ahead. The second major pillar of the game is the character creation, as I've made it so the characters can pick from a multitude of things, both from different spell trees, perk trees, and are able to even customize their equipment, both weapons and their armors.
Oh. Well, funny enough, you should touch on that. One of our questions is, can you describe how you would go through character creation in your game?
An amazing question. So, the first step, as with most RPGs, is figuring out what you want your character to be, concept-wise. Do you want to be a sneaky little demon that likes to roam the streets of hell, steal a few coins, and make their way back to their hideout? Do you want to be a fallen angel that is... what's the word? Has delusions of grandeur and believes that they were sent in hell to kill demons? Or are you a sinner, one that is reminiscing about their past life and mourning over what all they lost, but regardless has to suffer, in a way, in hell, and try to come to terms with their failures and sin? Then we begin with the mechanical parts, more specifically picking your demonic species. Now, in the game, there's currently 8 species, one of them being the sinners, and the rest being one demon species for every sin. But I do want to note that in the lore of Hellborn, there are more than just 8 species. There's around 13, 14 last I counted, but we plan to add the rest in like expansions or supplements later down the line. We want to begin small for the second edition, for a few reasons which I will touch upon later. The 8 species are... Sinners, Fallen Angels, both of which are very self-explanatory, I believe. Levenites, the Children of Leviathan, which are fish-like demons. The Ampusa, the magnum opus of Beelzebub. Humanoid, bug-like demons who have their own sort of internal struggles in their own society. The Baelorkin, who were created after Satan slayed a dragon. Well, what is essentially a dragon. And were born from the mixture of the dragon's blood and Satan's spilled blood. The Tauri, aka the imps of the setting. The Draketh, which are the demons of Sloth. And what's the last one? There's a lot of species and I usually forget all their names. Oh, and the Concubi, which are the, as you can guess by the name, the seductive demons of lust, which are both the Incubi and the Succubi in one species. After you choose your species, you choose your demonic role, your mercenary role. Again, there is 7 roles, if I remember correctly, maybe 8. It's the Abitur, essentially the group support slash healer. The Gunslinger, which as you can guess, guns, all about guns, using them effectively. I'm trying to remember all the names and I apologize. Ah, yes. The Mastermind, the de facto leader slash I am one step ahead of you character, who is usually, as I said, the group's leader, but also the one who plans most of the missions out. The Malefic, the witch in English, and if you can guess by the name, they're the main spellcaster of the group. I should mention the fact that every character in Hellborn has access to what is essentially spells. The Maleficas, as they're called, but Malefics are just slightly better at doing that and usually are able to either boost or alter the properties of their Malefic powers. There is the... Fuck! The names! Forget the names! And I apologize! Alright. Mastermind, Malefic, Gunslinger... Ah! The Slayer! The Assassin archetype, in other words. They might not have the greatest... effective range, or like they might not be able to attack multiple targets, but they are great at single target damage and picking out opponents in a different fight. The Wretch, aka the saboteur slash thief slash rogue slash scoundrel slash jack of all trades type of character. I'm missing 2 though. Alright, the Blade, the melee character, which, unlike what the name suggests, they're not just good with blades, but are also good with using, well, any type of weapon. You can specialize. So, Abator, Blade, Malefic Mastermind, Slayer... Oh, I forgot. The Sentinel, which is the tank role of the group. And I think those are all. If I'm missing one or two... I think I'm just missing one, though. Since it doesn't come to me, I think those are all.
Fair enough.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of races. Sorry.
Lots of options. Customization, yes.
Oh yeah. And I do want to mention, every role has its own tree of different perks you can pick from, and every species has access to a Malefica. There's 8 in total, and they're all essentially spell trees. All themed around a certain element or a certain type of magic, be it mind control, binding people, divine magic, fire magic, yada yada yada.
Yes, infinite possibilities.
Oh, and perfect. I do want to mention there's another thing about this game. This is probably the most innovative mechanic of the game, and that being tarot cards. So, during character creation, you pick 2 tarot cards out of 22. One of them represents your character's positive aspects, their upright card. Another one, their negative, their reversed card. And each card has a negative and positive effect, depending on whether they're upright or reversed card. So for example, a person with the Fool upright as their positive aspect, they are able to succeed at one extremely risky or otherwise stupid feat and come out unscathed. But if they have the reversed Devil card, they have some obsession, an addiction, something that they are dependent upon. This essentially allows each player to better embody their character's personality aspects, and also give them a better boussola of how to roleplay the character, as their personality aspects have a mechanical benefit and a mechanical detriment.
Sounds great. So how did you approach world building? How did you make your own hell for this game?
Okay, so this also requires a bit of a insight on how this whole project began. So the year is 2020-21. The COVID pandemic has swept the world. Everybody is in their homes in quarantine. I'm around 14-15. Browsing various Discord groups, and there I meet Edward, the other half of this project, who was in one of our servers, was like, "Hey guys, I want to make a game, who is in?" So like 10 or so teenagers hop in another Discord and just start writing shit, adding ideas, throwing stuff at the wall, casual brainstorming. The problem is, none of us knew how to program or do any modeling or anything. So, essentially, after a week, the project dies. However, I found the ideas and concepts we've thought of for this game to be very interesting, and it would be a shame for all of them to just be, you know, thrown away. And, as I mentioned earlier, this game was essentially spawned from a bit of a hate boner for Hazbin Hotel. So, at the start, it was pretty much a one-to-one at the start, with a few differences here and there, but... As the years passed, and as we developed as our writers and creators, and as the project developed, it gained its own identity. To better answer your question, however, without beating around the bush, essentially, we just want to add stuff that we thought was cool. We took elements from actual Abrahamic texts. A big part of the lore was actually inspired by, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the stories from the Bible, etc. It's very accurate to the source material, in other words. But at some point, we took our own creative liberties. After a certain point, we said, okay, imagine that sinners bring in their own knowledge and their own technology from the mortal realm. How would hell develop and change from all of that information? And we sort of like based everything from that. But primarily, we just wanted to add stuff that we found was cool. Which I think, for 99% of writers, it is the best way to go, if you ask me. Well, of course, there are exceptions, obviously. but for the major part, that was our philosophy. Just on stuff that we found was cool, and that was actually made sense by the actual Abrahamic canon.
So, with all this world building, all these characters, what kind of experience are you looking for players to get from this game? Are you looking for them to be kind of adventurous, slightly horrified? What's the vibe? What are you thinking they're going to get from this?
Well, how do I put this? This game has very similar vibes to Shadowrun, if you ask me, where it's essentially a modern slash near cyberpunk world with supernatural elements. The game is built around being mercenaries in hell, so I expect this sort of like epic action, like a lot of action-packed scenes and mission-to-mission episodic adventures, but I do feel like another big part of the element is the fact that you're in hell and all the horrors that come with the territory. So there's bound to be a lot of like existential dread or like, oh shit, we're in hell moments. But I do believe primarily it's going to be action-packed scenes with demons and magic and lots of gore, lots of, like, mature themes or, like, stuff that would generally not be good to show kids. We aren't totally explicit with this game. We don't have, like, a swear word every other sentence or go super into detail about certain vile stuff. But by the nature, by the merit of this being in hell, there's bound to be a few fucked up things or, like, a lot of bad people.
So what I'm hearing from that is, Jay, you're going to have a very good time playing this game.
Fucked up things, fucked up people, sounds good to me.
Another benefit of this game, which I haven't experienced a lot myself, but I do believe it's going to be very prevalent in various tables, is the fact that because this is hell, it's going to allow a lot of players to be truly evil without being like, oh, this guy's a monster! Oh god, these adventures are monsters! Yeah, no, everybody is a monster in hell. It's just a matter of how evil you want to be.
Very.
Yeah,
sounds about right.
Have you heard some of the stuff we've done?
Not quite, but just judging from the enthusiasm, I do get a good idea.
Hey, Matt. 3, 2, 1. Shotgun baby.
You what?
Shotgun the baby.
Oh, God.
I'll put it into context. It was a monster baby.
It was half human.
Okay.
Entirely harmless.
Okay, it's only half human, though.
It was one of the player characters' siblings.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Probably the most evil thing my party has done. Damn, I can't even think what's the most evil part. Probably, like, no, a terrorist attack or something.
Hey, Matt, not for how viscerally.
We tortured a few people. Yeah.
Okay, sometimes it's warranted.
Sometimes it is harder. I was going to say, Matt, while the shotgun baby thing is more visceral, do you think running over the orphanage is worse?
Okay.
Is that our new bar?
I really need to hear this story a different time. Because
a different time, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll tell you after.
I have a feeling those two stories are somewhat connected, though.
Nope. Two different incidents.
Oh, perfect.
And many years apart.
Oh, perfect. So, to get back on track, please continue. I apologize for going on a tangent.
No, that's fine. We love tangents.
So, what challenges did you face during the development of your game?
Okay, so, first and foremost, the fact that I was 15 and I had to balance school and writing this game, this was a major trudge. Like, this was the biggest problem at the start. But now, the second biggest problem, which still persists today, is the fact that I have pretty much zero funding. I am technically unemployed, although I do have a job, but they don't pay me much. And I usually have to resort to, like, finding gigs or getting some occasional pocket money from my parents to afford the art for this game. The main reason why we're doing the Kickstarter in the first place is to find that last bit of art we need, or to replace a few pieces that are very much outdated. But those were the biggest challenges when it came to making this game. Another one that was mostly because of, like, you know, my inexperience was the fact that I didn't know how to write RPGs, and that this was extremely off scope for my age. Because I'm pretty sure this is, like, the number one thing that people need to keep in mind whenever they make anything creative is start small. Don't go big.
No.
And you know what I did I completely disregarded that rule and went into the deep end and wrote a 250-page rule book.
Nice.
And I did that multiple times, and I regret every single time I did that. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, let's face it, you must have learned doing it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It's not a waste of time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Regret is a big word. But yeah, like, that was so much work. I do really need to one day to release all those alpha and beta documents. Mm.
So, since you've started this at the age of 15, how have you gone back and balanced all of these mechanics that I'm guessing you've added over the years of making this? How is that all now in a state that you're happy with? How have you managed to do that?
Oh, the answer is simple. I have remade this game from the ground up multiple times.
Damn.
So, the first time we made this game was a D100 system, right? Mm. Then we switched to D20. Then we switched to dice pools, a la World of Darkness. Then I played Disco Elysium and switched to a 2D6, and that's what we stuck with for the first edition. And then I've got a few reviews for the game, some that were very in-depth, and they pretty much showed me all the flaws with the game and what could be improved. I play-tested it a lot, I got a better idea of how I want this game to be, because another thing I struggled with was finding the proper direction for this project. I didn't have an idea what I was doing for a big part. Only recently did I decide, okay, the game's gonna be like this and this, it's gonna look like this and that, we're doing this and this with the systems. And after we did the whole 2D6 thing, like a few months ago when I was working on the second edition, I was like, you know what, I think 3D6 might be fun. Let's try it. And I've honestly gotten more, like, good words about the 3D6 than the 2D6, mostly because of the 666 thing. I'll be real.
Mm.
Always fun.
But, you know, to summarize my answer, lots of remaking of systems, lots of playtests, lots of feedback and reviews from other people.
Speaking of feedback and reviews, can you share any memorable moments or, like, stories from people who've playtested your game?
I do have a few. Most of them are from people breaking my game. Which is a good thing always, because it shows its biggest flaws. So, story number one. One of my players pushed the limit of, like, armor class and defense in this game by making a character that could not have been hit by anything short of a crit. Which was very funny and frustrating, but at the same time, it gave me a good idea of how much unbalanced combat was. Second story, by the same player. This was back when size was a thing in the game, because at some point the game was a lot more in depth when it came to combat, and like size was a thing, comparing sizes was a thing, and he went from like the normal size to the largest size in the game with like three abilities.
Hmm.
Now, in terms of like a memorable moment from any of the playtests. Oh yeah, probably the most memorable was when I ran the first ever playtest of Hellborn, which was way back when. That must have been at least 3 years ago. They were trying to chase a car, and one of the players is an Empusa, and the Empusa have the ability to fly, so they use their flying to go to the other car and try to sort of make the driver halt. Another player keeps shooting at the car, blam, 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 blam. And one of the players said, you know what, I will shoot at the tires. Boom. Crit. The car flips while the Empusa is on it. And they didn't have the chance to reveal their wings and fly again, so they had to roll to see if they would be pancaked. And guess what? Another crit, which allowed them to get back in the van and survive. Very funny. Yeah. That's a very memorable moment, even 3 years after. I don't know why. Though I do hope to make more memorable moments, since I'm going to be hosting more playtests later down the line.
Nice.
That'd be interesting to see what stories come from that in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what would you say is the best and the worst part of making the game so far?
The best and worst part. Best part, I think it's getting to express myself and being able to like show my work with the world. I'm a very perfectionist guy and I like people appreciating the stuff I make, so seeing so many people like my project and like getting praise for it and trying it out brings a smile to my face. The worst part was having to sort of come to terms with the fact that, okay, I'm a 19-year-old guy, 18 years old, having pretty much no money to support this project. Because even though I wanted this game to look so good, I wanted to do so many things for it, I was often held back by the lack of a budget, or the lack of experience, or the lack of people, because pretty much just me and Edward working on this, and even then, I primarily do everything, since Ed doesn't have that many skills. He's a great writer, he's an amazing writer, and the project wouldn't be the same without him, but I have to juggle a lot of responsibilities when it comes to making this project. But at the same time, I learned a lot of things while doing this, so I guess the negatives kind of counteract each other.
That's always a good thing, I suppose.
It is indeed.
Yep. So, what's your plans once the game's released, as far as expansions and such go?
So, the plan is, right now, our main plan is to try to get the game. That's the first and foremost.
Is there anything else?
To explain, when we released first edition, everything was in the same book. All the species, all the lore, all everything was in one solid book. However, the problem is, as we began developing the second edition, we figured out that if we wanted to do everything and be high detail and contain all the lore we wanted, all the information about every species and its culture and its language and etc., the game would be around 500 pages. It would blow it out to such an extent that we wouldn't be able to support or fund it. And so we chose to essentially have the game come out in parts. The core rulebook would contain all the basic information, and then every few months, if we have the budget, God willing, we'll be able to have expansions that add more lore to each ring. They add more lore for each species. They include the language for each species, more rules, more player options, more stuff for the GM, etc. And then, once we release all the expansions, which we have four in mind, each expansion containing info for two rings and the demons and everything in it, we will combine everything in one solid book. But that's looking way ahead in the future. Right now, our current plan is to get the book out and hopefully start working on the first expansion. Though, in terms of stuff we want to do, miscellaneous stuff, one thing we want to do, which I believe we're going to put as a stretch goal, is to get a tarot deck for the game. One that has like special art for it and that could be used alongside the main game.
That is absolutely epic.
Our funding goal.
And that ties on to a question I'm going to ask now. What is your funding goal? How do you plan
right,
on
so funding goal.
Apart from obviously the tarot deck.
My current idea for the goal is around 800 euros / USD. Though this might change in the near future depending on how expensive the game is to ship, to print, and also how much the art for the game is going to cost. Which I'll have a final number in a few days since I'm almost done writing the book. But it shouldn't be a huge goal, I believe. Frankly, since most of the art is finished and we just did like a few pieces, our goal shouldn't be too big. The goal also accounts for like taxes and whatnot. But around that, like the 800 to 1000 mark, it is not that expensive. In terms of stretch goals, frankly, one thing I've heard from a lot of people and I agree with is to be careful of scope creep. Essentially, we don't want our goal to be like, oh, the game is funded, and then our next stretch goal is like, we get a video game for it. So for the time being, our first few stretch goals are get a new cover for the game, get more art, yeah. or replace some of the older art, and then eventually the tarot cards. One thing that I do want to do, though I don't know how expensive it will be, but it's definitely something I want to do in the future, is get a foundry system for the game. So me and my friends can play it online, and so a lot of people can play it online. But for the time being, those are our stretch goals. More might appear in my mind as we go forward.
That's fair.
Or I might get some more opportunities, some people might approach me, or I don't know. I'll figure stuff out as we go, but those are what I got thus far. In terms of how long I'll run it, 1 month. It's a standard, it's a good amount of time. I think 1 month is all good. I don't know if I have to say sorry or that's good.
Fair. Well then, I mean, you've kind of blitzed through most of our questions already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And trust me, this game has been my passion project of so many
years.
That's
good. I mean, we love it.
It's literally taken up a quarter of my life.
Kind of go off and answer multiple, because at the end of the day, it just shows the passion behind it, doesn't it, Jay?
I am 18 currently, turning in 19 in May, and I started working on this when I was, well, my Edward was 15. I was 14 when I started this.
How old are you, by the way? You said you started this at 15.
I'll be real, I've gotten this from so many people. Like, I had an interview like for a past project,
damn.
A past Kickstarter,
damn, you are probably
with
the
like a few other people. They were like in their 50s. And like other podcasts, the rest of the people were like in their 40s, 50s, 60s. It was weird being the youngest guy there, but at the same time, it's fun. I do want to make game design and making games my career in the future, though I understand that is easier said than done.
Fair play. We're like 30s and 20s, so...
I am trying. My plan is to probably get like a normal job so I can support my life and my girlfriend and whatnot, and have the game design stuff as a side gig and build towards it.
Hey man, shoot for the bigs. Yeah, you can make it if you try.
Oh yeah. So, where people can find me? Well, unfortunately, the website we had, well, I didn't have any more money to support it, so
James, that's no longer a thing.
But for the time being, we have a Discord server, we have
so
a Blue Sky page.
Where can people find you?
We have a drive-through RPG account, where that's where we sell most of our games. You can also find the game's Quick Start there for free, which also comes with an adventure and maps for it. But that's about it, pretty much. We don't have much more in terms of social media. Twitter is dead, and I refuse to use it. We got a Tumblr that I sometimes post in, but that's about it. Discord, DraftRPG, Blue Sky, and of course, Kickstarter. It was my pleasure, honestly. I always like talking to people and talking to them about my game, my passion, etc. And of course, answering questions about them.
We thank you very much for your time in talking about Hellborn.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Right, well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Go find this game. I'll put the links in the description.
Oh, trust me. I need to get another bookshelf for mine.
I'd like to add
I don't have many RPG
collection.
Books, but I do have a copy of Mage the Ascension to Nth Anniversary, and that's a 700-something and something page beast.
The collection that's already bowing down the shelf that I built specifically for it.
And...
wow. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone, and goodbye for now.
Bye-dee-bye.